B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he what? Oh, how would you not like the fight? I thought, when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? Are you guys Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right? So, I don't know. No idea what I'm talking about, but...
All right, and let's start with this. Let's pick that right up from where we did yesterday. It's Dana White, the UFC event over the weekend where Tom Brady was caught talking with Mark Davis of the, obviously, Las Vegas Raiders. Welcome into the program. Here it's a Tuesday, and we're joined by the big boy. It's still Big Boy Tuesday, Maz.
Extended edition.
What's up, fellas?
Pats are out, but it's still football season, so Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us here in our Town Fair Tire studios. How you doing, Greg?
Good.
When Greg's in, we do nothing but hardcore X's and O's. We do nothing but wham blocks and backside blitzes and the weak side, so we've got our charts. We've gone over the film. We do nothing but hardcore X's and O's.
And centers who can get to the second level.
Exactly. Oh, wait, what's this? Life and Style magazine.
It's real. It exists.
Let's see. Megxit Mania, Meghan and Harry... Their plan to make $50 million.
I like Meghan Markle.
Would this be Jexic?
New mom Cameron Diaz, right?
Yeah.
My 5-year struggle to have a baby.
Finally.
Then here on the bottom, Chloe and Tristan back together.
They are. Yep, Tristan Thompson.
Oh, and then what's this?
Oh, big headline there.
$600 million divorce nightmare. Giselle dumps Tom.
Kick him to the curb.
Fights, lies, and separate bedrooms. Quote, nothing he did was ever good enough. End quote. Tell me about it, Tommy. Subhead, why she hated their Massachusetts mansion.
Because it's in Massachusetts.
So we talked about this yesterday. I was worried that it was just an internet fabrication. No, it actually exists. I'm holding the magazine in my hands. Greg, your thoughts?
I
love it.
I don't think it's true. I mean, I can only go what I've seen and heard, and I have no reason. I mean, I've seen them together in recent weeks towards the end of the season, the playoff loss. I've seen them together. Nothing looks different at all to me, and I haven't heard anything close to that. I'm just that's all I've heard and observed. So that's all I can go on.
I wouldn't base it on that. If you see me with my wife, we look happy too.
You see Jay-Z and Beyonce everywhere, and those two hate each other based on what you read.
So, Murray, what were your impressions of the story?
It's hysterical. I mean, some of the quotes that you get from unnamed sources.
So the front page is really it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the story. Well, go ahead.
I mean, I didn't feel there was much in that story. I didn't. Quote, it's over between Tom and Giselle. They had a long, good run, but they've grown apart, a source tells Life and Style, explaining that friends are buzzing that Giselle, 39, has made it clear that she wants a break from the football legend, 42, ahead of their 11th wedding anniversary. Tom and Giselle are definitely at a crossroads in their marriage. All right, newsflash. Yeah. Constant crossroads. If you've been married for any length of time, it's constant.
Yep, it's really just one busy intersection.
It's just a constant, do we really want it? Really?
It's like that one down at Braintree. They call it Five Corners or whatever it is. It's like cars coming from every direction.
First subhead, always at odds. Yep. That's why. How is this any different? A big part of the problem is, as a story, for years, Giselle has been begging Tom to retire. But although that is true. But although his contract with the Patriots is now up, the athlete says it's unlikely he'll step away from the field. So a disappointed Giselle would be looking at least another year of sleeping in separate bedrooms. Again, what's the problem? Giselle puts up with his training, Giselle puts up with his training and game schedule, but she hates that he's away from home so much and always demands that he fly home as soon as he can to be a husband and father, says the source. So, look, I mean, I don't mean to spend, we'll have fun with this because it's just, it's kind of fun. But I don't need to pile on with this. I really don't care about the personal part of it. I only care how it relates to the football end of it. Like, that's our business, right? That's what I care about. what does this mean for his future here? What does it mean for his future elsewhere? And I'll say what I said yesterday, which is if there is any sort of thing to them leading more separate lives, whether it's what's going on here in the magazine or not, I mean, like, again, it's a factor. If they're leading anything close to separate lives, I think it makes it far more likely that he goes to some random destination that I never thought he would have gone to in the first place. And the one that I use is Tennessee. Like, I can't see the whole Brady unit moving to Tennessee. I just don't feel that's in the cards. Kids in school in Tennessee, Giselle in Nashville, like, no. But if they're leading separate lives in any way, Brady being there solo and traveling on weekends and et cetera, that makes sense to me. And that's sort of how I... That's a piece of the story that I care about. Does this make it more or less likely that he's here or elsewhere?
If there's any truth to this, sure, it makes it more likely that he would be someplace else, like, you know, Las Vegas or something like that. But, you know, here's one of my questions about the story. It's not like Tom just all of a sudden started talking about I'm playing till 45. It's not like, you know, yeah, he said he gave that interview where he's like, I negotiated two more years with Giselle. He's been talking about playing till 45 for like 5 years. So this isn't like a conversation that they just had and had an argument. And she said, that's it. I'm done. You know, let's, you know, just move apart. Like this is, she knows that he's wanted to do this. There are reason he wants to do this both personally and also, you know, as far as TB12 goes. So I just, that's another reason why I don't really, you know, believe the story, but I do think, you know, if there is any hint of truth to this, I think Brady's playing the leverage game, which he should in a variety of ways. And I think this is all part of his plan, all of it. And I've talked about it since when I've been on the show before that I think all of this, the putting the house on the market, all this stuff, it's all to create leverage and pressure on the Patriots so that they give in and give Brady what he wants.
I mean, are you suggesting this story is also part of it?
Could be.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, and that didn't occur to me until Greg said it. I mean, they got to have PR people, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why not have a PR person leak it to Life and Style magazine that, you know what, we're thinking about spending a little time away from each other because people come to the conclusion that you just came to, which is if Tom's on his own, he's liable to go play anywhere. And, you know, so maybe it's all an orchestration. Typically, when a story like this comes out, if the couple deems it hurtful, don't they issue a statement through their PR person? There's no truth to it. We're fine. We're happier than ever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, oftentimes.
They usually ignore this.
I mean, sometimes I think.
Sometimes is a better way to say it. Sometimes they do.
I think these two have ignored it pretty consistently because this isn't the first time. You know, this, whether it's this magazine or others, they've been on the rocks or never better for, I don't know, for like 2 or 3 years. So, like, again, take this stuff with a huge grain of salt. It's just a jumping off point. So I don't necessarily trust Life and Style. I don't think it's an orchestration, though, because, I don't know, there's kids involved, and you're going to, you know, screw around with that sort of thing and that sort of...
Good point.
You know, I don't think it's an orchestration. I just think it's just gossip, dirt, tabloids. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Murray, what were your favorite parts? I mean, while we're on it.
Oh, well, when it gets to the part where, you know, he loves being a family man and he loves the kids and everything, but I don't know if you want to pull up the quote, I think it's in that, like, sixth or seventh paragraph, but he also enjoys... being away from the nagging wife, essentially. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it sounds like. And I also think that speaks to some of those tweets that we saw ahead of those games just a couple of years ago, where he's showing up to games 9 hours early just so he can sit on the bench by himself and get some quiet time.
So here's the part Murray's talking about. Tom loves his family, which includes his two kids with Giselle, dot, dot, dot. Quote, but he also loves it when he's away from Giselle's tough love, adds the source. She wears the pants in the family, and everyone knows it, end quote.
Oh, yeah. So you know that he is. It's everything that I've always joked about. It's constantly like, why do you keep playing the stupid game? Are you going to stop? Are you going to stop with this stupid game? Do you always have to travel? Why aren't you home more? How come you didn't fly home immediately after you played in California last week? Like, oh, just shut the F up. Stop talking. I got to go to the stadium early this week. Why? Why do you have to go? A lot of practice. I got to get worked on here. Pliability. You have to go 9 hours early? Yeah. I'll see you after the game. Just so we can. Put the headphones on, listen to the ocean sounds.
This story says, lately things have gone from bad to worse. They've been having some nasty blowouts. One was after Giselle told Tom that a psychic told her to leave him.
I can see that being true.
Oh, 100%.
What do they say about the mansion? Why does she hate the mansion?
This is what we're doing now?
Murray got it right.
Yeah, because it's in Massachusetts. Yeah.
Okay, there are also signs that they're ready to move on. In early January, they slashed the asking price for their Massachusetts mansion by nearly $6 million. Giselle, quote, Giselle hates living there. She thinks it's tacky and wants to live in L.A., but Tom doesn't, says the source. She thinks it's tacky.
True.
What's wrong with... Have you seen where they live?
That place is tacky?
Yeah. It's right on the on like the sixth hole at the country club. Yeah.
Massachusetts is tacky.
I was sort of getting back to Murray's Overbeer Beach analogy. Like, that is kind of tacky.
Yeah, the people think that High Couture is Bob's Stores.
So here's, my thought is this.
The psychic, too, that poor bastard.
The right, exactly. Giselle, really? Is this what we're doing?
Yeah.
The bystander in me, the neutral observer in me, is rooting for Tom to play this game. I don't think this is part of the game. I think this is just another back and forth with the tabloid crap because he's married to Giselle Bundchen. But talking to Mark Davis, the Jason LaConfora story yesterday, that he's going to take his time, he's going to go to market, he's going to talk to other teams. I'm glad he's doing that. If you're going to go through the process last year of asking them not to franchise you, and then settle early? Like, what's the point? You've at least got to carry it through to free agency or at least get closer to free agency. At least make the Patriots sweat a little bit. I've been waiting for years to see Tom Brady, if he could make the Patriots sweat. So I'm rooting for at least that much. Make them sweat a little bit.
I totally agree with you. And look, Tom's no dummy. He's seen what has gone on here. The only people that get paid, guys who really get paid by the Patriots top of the market are guys who force the issue, like Devin McCourty, like who had one foot out the door to the Eagles and the Giants, and then Bill all of a sudden gave him a humongous contract. You know, Dante Hightower, flirted with the Jets, and they gave him a big contract. I mean, Vince Wilfork, same sort of thing, thought that, threatened to leave. So Tom knows that, he's not just going to get what he wants from the Patriots without any pressure. So I think he's going to go through this whole song and dance. I think as soon as it hits the free agency, if the Patriots don't give him what he wants before, which would be advantageous to the team salary cap wise, then there will be reports of Tom's flying to Tennessee. He's going to fly into Nashville. Then he's going to Vegas. Like,
I'm still not convinced he'll actually go through with it, Greg, but this is what I'm rooting for.
I'll tell you, I'm just not convinced that they're ultimately going to give him what he wants. Like, when you talk about the other players that have gone, a lot of those guys were still in the prime of their career or close to it, and they didn't require the type of financial investment that this guy will. So, like, look, I told you, because I'd love to see it too. I would love to see him hold that, hold them their feet to the fire, okay? Hold that franchise hold their feet to the fire, and let's really see what happens at the moment of truth when Tom has to decide whether he's going to leave and Robert has to decide whether or not he's going to let him. Like, I'm fascinated by that particular instant.
When you ask not to be franchised, that's the course. That's what you're setting up.
They gave it to him too, which I'm stunned by, which means they're daring him to walk out the door.
So let's see you take their dare. Let's see you take their dare. All right, so Greg's thoughts, and he's got some ties to Las Vegas and the Raiders. He's familiar with that operation. Thoughts on Brady to Vegas. Thoughts on more on that Jason LaConfora story as well. Tom Brady wanting to be a mentor now, Greg. Now he wants to mentor young quarterbacks. Your thoughts with that? Your thoughts out there at 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, a little bit of a camera problem, so you're just hearing us and not watching us. Those cameras will be up soon, and you'll be seeing our pretty faces. But either way, Greg Bedard is brought to you by Jarvis Ford, as John and Michael Jarvis like to say. Honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business. It's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. To your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Some Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, at the top, we have breaking news here, people. Now, Tom Curran correctly reported, our own Tom Curran correctly reported that Tom Brady, are you guys just laughing at my breaking news? I think, Trenny, they were laughing at my breaking news.
He's an intrepid reporter, the two of you listen. It's Scoops McGee over here.
I'm laughing with you, Gary.
Sure you are. Yeah, that's bull of me. Tom Curran correctly reported that Tom Brady has not moved to Connecticut. Okay, so we put the kibosh for that. I was told today by a source, though, the family is preparing to leave the area. The priority this time is to let the kids finish school this year. Then they're gone. Furthermore, Brady said to another source of mine that he is tired of being embarrassed by the number of quarterbacks that are paid more money than him. Okay, now let's move on to the other issue in regard to Bill Belichick. A source told me today that after he was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco, he inquired about coaching jobs with the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. Belichick wanted to make it clear that he needed to be in complete charge of the Patriots, or what was the point of him being here? He would leave. Ownership has said that Brady's future is up to him, up to Tom. But in reality, it's up to Bill Belichick.
Controversy. It just puts a little bit of context to Gare Bear there last Friday. Tabloid reports.
Gary throwing heaters.
Yeah, maybe they're related, maybe they're not.
Go big or go home.
Exactly, Gare Bear. So this is what it's going to be. This is what it's going to be for the next 2 months or so with Tom Brady. Nick, right?
I agree.
What about Jason LaConfora? So he says that it would be extremely surprising if Brady were to agree to any new pact with the Patriots prior to the start of free agency in March, I'm told. And while his process could still result in a return to New England, it's far from certain at this point. Brady intends to take a methodical approach to his first foray into free agency. Isn't it far less likely that he returns if it goes past March 18? There's cap implications.
Not according to people around the team. But as far as the cap stuff, yes, it's much easier for the team to get it done ahead of time.
So, and I don't even think that's the most important thing.
Right.
I think the most important thing is he goes somewhere else, gets offered officially a boatload of money, a bag Correct. Of money, and he sees the spot and he gets shown the love. And he sees what it could be on the other side, and that's the real factor. The cap implication is real, $13 million if he signs after March 18. But they yep. can figure it out if they have to. And that the team is so you, it's your understanding that that's not going to preclude the team from
Correct.
Re-signing him if it's after the 18th.
Yep.
So, but do you think he intends fully to go to the 18th?
Well, I mean, I think he's going to put it out there. He's gonna at least make it look like he is. I mean, that whole LaConfora report is further leverage. They're going to get it out there that, you know, Tom Brady, he is full steam ahead for free agency because he's hoping that the Patriots wise up when it's, you know, with the cap implications that it's more advantageous for them to get it done before free agency, that they step up and give him what he wants.
I mean, anytime you go to market, the chances of you going back are less.
That's right.
Just by definition.
Thank you.
Again, so like, you know, the Patriots can say whatever they want and spin it whatever way they want. But once he goes to market, the chances are less. And in fact, I think the tampering period actually starts on the 16th.
That is correct.
So really, to me, the 16th is the period where they lose it, to lose the advantage.
So they can officially take calls, but you can't travel anywhere until the 18th. Is that right? I forget how it works.
There's a tampering.
I think that's right. I think you're right.
Tampering period.
Yeah, no, but can you take visits during the tampering
no.
period?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, you have to wait for the 18th. But either way, so like there's that $13 million cap implication. So that's a part of it. I think it's a small part of it. I think if Brady goes somewhere and gets treated like the cat's ass, you know, and goes on this free agent tour, and they roll out the carpet for him and offer him the huge amount of money. It's just sort of, you know, in an official setting for a guy that's been looking for quote unquote respect. You know, that's going to be hard for the Patriots to match once it gets to that point. But if he intends to do it, I mean, let's see. Let's see if he really has the fortitude to do that. Real quick, your thought on this part of it as well, Greg. Brady said Brady also is eager to take on the role of mentor to a young quarterback, no matter where he plays. Hoping to leave any organization in good shape when he retires. Part of his legacy, he believes, could be tied to seeing future generations embrace the TB12 training and lifestyle regimen that Brady strongly believes has helped him play so long at such a high level.
I mean, while I think that's true, and Tom you know, maybe he hasn't been the warmest guy to some of his backups, but he's certainly been helpful when they've asked questions and things like that. I think that is more gamesmanship, that he's keeping as many options open as possible, including a team like the Giants with, you know, Daniel Jones, the, you know, the young quarterback there who, quite frankly, he's not ready yet. And, you know, now that Joe Judge is there, maybe, you know, maybe that's now open, where if you say, I'm full steam ahead, I'm the guy, I want to be the guy, who knows how long I'm going to play, all of a sudden teams are, who have sunk a lot of money or capital into the quarterback position say, well, forget it, it's not going to work if that's the way he's going to be.
I mean, mercenary only has so much marketability.
But very shrewd. Because that opens up all those teams with a young quarterback who they'd have to sit, who they like for whatever reason, but would have to sit for a year or two.
I think you mentioned Denver yesterday, Drew Lock. That's a perfect example of this.
So, and I think, you know, the tie-in for TB12, like that works for everyone. If you could then make Drew Lock, you know, get Drew Lock on TB12, help turn him into a player, groom him, really invest him. Don't just answer a question now and then, but really invest in the young player because it's his guy. And his guy is going to be a brand ambassador for TB12, and then, like, it's all one piece. That just makes a lot of sense to me, that piece to it. But it is interesting how now all of a sudden he wants to be a mentor to the young guys.
Oh, yeah, no, all of a sudden he's Yoda.
So, okay, your calls here with Greg Bedard. Jim and Everett, go ahead, Jim.
Yes, I'm more concerned with the other side, the front office side, with, like, Nick Caserio and that Monty leaving. Kansas City has I call him a kid, who was director of pro scouting, director of player personnel. Now he's head of football operations there, Mike Borgonzi from Everett. Now, they're talking about him being a GM in Texas. Where does the GM fall in the Patriots? Is that above Caserio?
It's Belichick. I'm just going to cut you off. So this Masi Asenfort, did he interview in Cleveland? And I know butchered the name, but...
But it looks like Cleveland's going to go with George Patton, who's from the Vikings.
Okay, so, is it Asenfort?
Yeah, Monty Asenfort.
And he's Casario's second.
Correct.
So where do we stand with all this? Where do we stand with Caserio? His contract's up at the draft.
Asenfort? After the draft, like most personnel people.
Is he gone?
It depends what kind of offer he gets. I mean, you know, you look at some of the moves that O'Brien's making, more, you know, consolidation of power there. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be an option for him. I think they would talk about it once his contract is up. But I think that O'Brien and Easterby, I think they're good with the way things are.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
How's the owner?
It's all in O'Brien. You know, the owner gave him the green light. He gave him the power last year, and they've only moved more and more into that direction.
They're for a guy who is so exceedingly mediocre, they seem to be all in on Bill O'Brien. Ray and Methuen, go ahead, Ray.
How are you doing? I have a great solution. Give Brady all the money he wants, then he won't bench him. Tell him no.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Let's grab Stan in Medfield. Hi, Stan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So let's just take this whole Giselle, Tom Brady on the rocks story and just run with it real quick. So if they really are on the rocks, right, wouldn't Vegas be the best place for Tom Brady to go be a playboy? Oh my god, like he would re-energize his career, let's be saying. And Guerrero might as well look for a new job, because there'd be enough women be willing to be hanging out with him and making sure stretching him out before those games.
Okay, so it's just like, that's silly, but Vegas is another place. Is he going to move Giselle to Vegas and
no.
put the kids in school in Nevada?
No chance.
That's why I think Nashville's, you know, in my mind, I think Nashville is the perfect fit for Brady. If they decide to do that, and this is a longer discussion, but I mean, they have a lot of tough choices to make. What, you know, Derrick Henry's a free agent. Ryan Tannehill's a free agent. What are you going to do? What do you want your team to be? Do you want it to be through Henry and you're going to pay him through the nose and then go cheaper at quarterback? Or are you going to go with the quarterback and then figure out the running game?
So that's from the Titans' perspective, and that is interesting. From Brady's perspective, Tennessee, Vegas, if he's split from Giselle and it's sort of separate lives, makes perfect sense to me. If they're a unit and want to keep like how they've lived here in Brooklyn, those places make no sense to me.
Have you been to Nashville?
It's been a while, but
I mean, it's really nice. I mean, they have certainly have an upper class and built-in private schools and all that
stuff. You think Giselle's going to live in Tennessee?
Too small.
It depends... if she likes the quiet life, natural, all that stuff.
Oh, no
I
shot.
I think there's a shot.
None. No chance.
Zero.
Jay Cutler's wife seems to love it, and she got a show out of
Where's
it.
Where's she
She's
from?
A giant pain in the Where's ass.
LA. She from? From Malibu.
Yeah.
Okay. Jay Cutler's a tool.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think the family thing plays in. And certainly if they're leading separate lives, I think that opens up. Vegas opens up certain spots that it wouldn't open up. So that's just a piece to it. But you're talking about from the Tennessee perspective, which I find interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a lot
Don't tell me they're going to take the cheese on Ryan Tannehill. I mean, don't tell me. Vrabel's smarter than that.
Oh, Vrabel's going to put in a call to Brady. Of course he is. There's no way he can't.
But do you think he would invest money? So let's say Brady falls apart. Would they invest money in Ryan Tannehill?
That's the question.
They might.
No.
Well, I don't think they'll invest big money, but that's why if you're the Titans, if you like what you have, what you had, do you give basically Henry the quarterback money and you basically leverage Tannehill with Brady? Be like, look, if you don't take $15 million a year.
So we're going to pay the running back and cheap out on the quarterback. That's smart.
Well, I mean, that's the decision that I don't think so. That's not what I would do.
Top two dumbest thing you could do.
If I were Vrabel, and I think I have a team that's built to win now, I go get Brady and I figure out running back.
Exactly. Of course.
I'll tell you, if I were the Patriots, the one that would really worry me is New Orleans. Not to like throw that curveball.
I think that's...
It would, because this came up in the story yesterday, that whatever we were reading yesterday, and it hadn't occurred to me.
No. This was, I think, Stu's intel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so New Orleans was on the list.
What if Breeze retired? New Orleans has a history of paying a veteran quarterback 2 years and $50 million. They'll do it again. They would absolutely go after Brady. The guy they have behind him is not ready. They're going to lose Bridgewater, I think. I'm not sure they're going to pour big money into Bridgewater.
And if they're
waiting for Hill to develop, if I'm them, I would go to Brady and say, we'll give you 2 years and $50 million, just like we gave Breeze.
Brad and Angelina did move to New Orleans for a time. What page is that on in this magazine?
I don't know.
They did.
There's been a ton of famous
The Mannings. In New
Orleans. Get it right. Brangelina.
The Saints, I find... viable, because if you're Sean Payton and you're sitting at home and watching those championship games this past weekend, how aren't you just ticked off about how like they weren't playing the 49ers and they had a team that could have matched up with the 49ers?
Okay, let's pick this up. We're going to do three up and three down from championship weekend with Bedard after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, three up, three down. Championship weekend edition with Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. Three studs, three duds. Mez chimes in as well. Who's your number one star from the weekend there, Greg?
Patrick Mahomes. He's incredible, and since he got back his sort of legs and running ability, because he did not have that immediately after his kneecap injury, and even when he played here against the Patriots, like I didn't think he was that good in that game. And a lot of it, and it starts with his ability to scramble and make plays. And I thought once you mix that in with Mahomes, I mean, he's almost unstoppable.
And not just in the running, right? Like the touchdown pass to Sammy Watkins, he's rolling out to the right and whips it down the field. Touchdown. There was a similar play against the Patriots in a game here a couple of years ago with Tyreek Hill. Remember that one when Harmon couldn't catch him?
Yes, sir.
Same idea. He's moving. He's running out of the pocket.
So he's your guy?
He is, yeah. I mean, he was easy, right? He was obviously the number one.
Number two.
Mostert, the 49ers running back. I mean, he's incredible. Seventh team. I mean, that goes to what we sort of always talk about, which is, you know, don't spend money on running backs. As long as you have a good line, that's where it starts. And I know you guys love to make fun of me all regular season about talking about line play, and then suddenly in the postseason, it determines games.
You're misinterpreting it. I never said it wasn't important. I just don't want to talk about it. I just have to do it on your own time. But it's really important. It's just there. I'll only talk about it if the guy blows and gives up three sacks. Then we'll talk about the offensive line. Otherwise, do it on your own time, and we'll just tell you whether the line's good or bad and move on to, you know, back to life and style and Giselle thinking the mansion's tacky.
You're also missing the point on this. We're going to make fun of you either way.
That's true.
So my number two was the offensive line of the San Francisco 49ers. I give them more credit than Mostert. And so I had trouble distinguishing or picking out one guy. I considered Shanahan. But their line was awesome. They dominated the game. Dominated.
I believe both starting running backs in the Super Bowl were undrafted.
Is correct. It? Yep. So, that's correct.
Undrafted. So it's just like four. So like when you say Tennessee has to make a decision whether to, you know, pay the running back, the quarterback money, and, you know, go with what the I got to think you're insane.
Well,
freaking, and Derrick Henry's terrific, and I do think he makes a difference over some other guys. But there's just too many examples of guys who come out at that position where you pay them nothing. So what are you doing? Like, how could that even be a consideration for
them?
Well,
I'll tell the other thing that pops into my head now is look at what the Chiefs did with Kareem Hunt. They cut his ass. See you later. And they went to the Super Bowl anyway.
Oh, my God. Example number 4 million. Third star.
Tyrann Mathieu. I think he's sort of like the defense of Mahomes. I think they made a great move. And it was a good choice by them because I think when he came back from his injury last year with the Texans, he was not the same player. And I wondered if he was ever going to be Honey Badger again. But they made it, the Chiefs did a really good job of identifying that he was going to be better his second year back from injury. And he's been incredible. He's been the total difference, one of the differences on that defense along with Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator.
I remember Chris Jones. He's a game changer for them. He really is. And I give an honorable mention to Mike Pennell, of all people, who was in here. And tell me the Patriots couldn't use him as it turned out.
Okay, three duds, three down. Who are the three duds from the weekend?
Matt LaFleur, number one. I mean, you know, yes, and we'll talk about Pettine very soon. But he's the head coach, and he did not have his team ready to play. They did not do anything to change what happened the first time around, and it was worse this time. And there's no excuse for that as a head coach. I mean, yes, you have a defensive coordinator, but you're in charge. And you need to set the direction, and he obviously did not do that. And it cost his team any chance in this game.
What was their game plan?
It's a great question. I don't know.
They just came and played straight up.
But he's being exposed on the offensive side, too. He is no Sean McVay Jr., I can tell you that much.
Mike Pettine, if I were the owner of a football team going into the NFC Championship game and my team gave up 285 yards rushing and never committed to stop the run, I'd fire the defensive coordinator on Monday morning.
Well, you're talking to him, pal, and we've been discussing it. Okay, number two.
Mike Pettine. I think I've always thought a lot of Mike Pettine. I think he's one of the best at defending the pass. And, you know, he learned a lot of – I think Rex Ryan is the best – at affecting the quarterback both rush-wise and coverage-wise, and I think Pettine does a good job with that. But obviously not having a better plan against the run, not selling out, not just saying, like, you know what, coming into this game and putting, you know, 8-9 guys in the box and say, go ahead, throw 50 times with Jimmy, but you're not running the ball. And to do the complete opposite, it was just a failure.
Aaron Rodgers, number one rule of a quarterback in a big game, protect the football. Protect the football. And if you happen to fumble it, you should actually try to get it back instead of just standing there and watching.
Third dud, quickly, please.
I went Tannehill over Rodgers just because, you know, that game was there for them, for the Titans to win, and Tannehill just showed that he can't do anything unless everything's perfect. He's got to have the running game. He's got to have the defense. And, you know, you look back, the last two AFC championship games in Kansas City, both times the visitor, Patriots last year, got out to a 17-7 lead, and then the Chiefs came back. But the difference was the Patriots and Tom Brady kept answering from then on out. Once it got to 21-17, the Patriots would come back and score, the Chiefs would score. It went back and forth. The Titans could not do that because they don't have Tom Brady, and Tannehill is just, it's not good enough for a contender.
Kills me because I love him. I went Logan Ryan. He had a tough take. And again, there were all kinds of breakdowns on that long Watkins touchdown, but Ryan was ultimately the guy that was responsible for him deep down the field, let him get behind him.
Your thoughts on this, your thoughts on Brady, the latest there. Also, I'll ask Greg about the Niners offense and Jimmy Garoppolo's role in it with, your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Eight, 10 to play. Garoppolo in the shotgun. They're going to throw it here. Looks left. Now Jimmy throws over the middle. Caught by George Kittle. His first target of the day. And George will run for a first down and across the 45 and up to around the 46-yard line. Just shooting it easy in there for a first down.
Yeah, and have him split outside of Emmanuel Sanders versus that off coverage. There is no way Will Redmond from that spot is going to be able to track and get in the hip pocket of George Kittle. And they are so worried, Pop, about Raheem Mostert out the other side on a swing route. Blake Martinez is standing out there trying to corral Raheem Mostert as Kittle's running right by him.
That's the first time the 49ers have passed the ball since 2:10 was left in the first half.
Right, exactly. That's why I played that. It was 90 minutes of real time, according to the broadcast. 90 minutes of real time. What was that, Aikman who said it? Between Garoppolo passes in that ball game. It was his first pass of the second half. He did not pass once in the third quarter. And so we've all been over this now. He was asked to pass 8 times the entire night. Greg Bedard, I ask you, are you ready? Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Were those 8 pass attempts more about, 1, Green Bay's inability to stop the run, or 2, the Niners' fear of Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball?
1, no doubt. You know, I know. Sorry to the boohoo Brady crew led by Murray over there.
You may address your comments to Big Jim Murray. Go ahead.
I heard him yesterday dumping on Garoppolo. How could you dump on Garoppolo from that game? That's just the extreme of sour grapes. Nah. Just crying.
That's okay. No, you can keep yelling at me all you want. I know I'm right. It's going to be proven in the Super Bowl. The game is going to end up having to be on him, and he's going to screw it up.
Well, I mean, that very well might be true. And I do think you're right. I think the Super Bowl will give us an early referendum, not the end of days on Jimmy Garoppolo, because, you know, it's not often quarterbacks get in this position. And yes, Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl came through with flying colors. But this was, I love Kyle Shanahan just for, you know, he's the type of coordinator that I love that just, if they can't stop it, he just keeps running it. He's not one of these guys, like even McVay would do it, where it's like, oh no, well, every third run we have to run play action to do this and test the coverage and stuff like that. No, they can't stop it. You're getting 7 yards a carry. Keep running it down their throats. Don't worry about the passing game.
Do you think the game plan was to throw 8 times?
No.
Or do they get into the game and say to themselves, they can't stop it?
Right, until they stop and keep going. I just find it interesting that except when he has to run in the final 2 minutes of a Super Bowl, Shanahan decides to put it up 3 times in a row. But that's another story for another day.
So if it does come down to Garoppolo in the Super Bowl, Greg, how do you think that's going to land? How do you think that's going to end up? Are you a Garoppolo believer or not? Can he play or not?
I think he can, but I do think he gets a little jittery. And I think the more times he's put in these situations, the better he'll be. But I think the first time out, I don't know. See, I want to say no. I want to say he's going to fail. But that Saints game showed me a lot. At that place, that kind of game, that kind of opponent, that was a big-time win. And I thought that was the emergence of Jimmy Garoppolo. But then he goes and, you know, makes a throw like he did 2 weeks ago.
That game was the NFC Championship game, as it turned out.
Yeah.
That was the NFC Championship game, and he played great.
But this whole thing, he didn't throw a pass in the third quarter. Okay, do you understand that the Niners only had the ball for one drive in that third quarter? Only had it for one drive. Want to hear the plays? Mostert left end for 7 yards, second and three. Mostert right end for 5 yards, first down. Samuel left end, 11 yards. Next first down. Mostert up the middle for 2 yards, second and eight. They do run it. Samuel right end, 32 yards. Next play, first and 10 at the 22. Mostert for no gain. Next play, Mostert left end for 22 yards. They were never in third down on that series. They were never in third down in that series. He ran 7, 5, 11, 2, 32, and 22 yards were the runs. Why would you throw the ball?
Well, the other thing that stuck out to me is that at one point early in the third quarter, maybe midway through, the broadcast showed a graphic. Fox showed a graphic, first downs in the game, and they were even. And you know what that means? That the Niners were getting 25 on every play. Like, and I'm exaggerating, but they were getting so few first downs because they were scoring in chunks.
By the way, let me read you this stat line. Can you guess the quarterback in the game? 12 of 18, 115 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Do you know who that was?
Was that Brady in his first Super Bowl?
That was Tom Brady in his first AFC Championship game.
At Pittsburgh.
You know, down the stretch, last three regular season games.
Yeah, duh.
Tom Brady, 54%, 57%, 58% completion. In the Super Bowl, he was 59%. I mean, you know, let's not have revisionist history like Tom Brady, like, you know, lit the world on fire in his first Super Bowl. I mean, what Jimmy has done has been acceptable, and I don't understand the need for people to dump on him without him even doing anything.
Sure you do.
Well, yes.
I enjoy it.
Well, no. I mean,
because I will be proven right.
I understand.
I feel
Murray,
confident in that.
You could be right.
Murray's a little different. But
with Gasper?
Well, and that's a little different, too. I mean, Gasper has an account that he's got his service. Murray just wants to be right and hates us, and so he wants Maz or me to be wrong about Garoppolo. So that's his – but I feel this – but for the majority of Patriots fans, there's like this protectiveness of not wanting Garoppolo to be good for some reason, which I don't get. That part I don't get, which is why don't you own it? Because that's another, you know, notch on your belt. Bill picked another quarterback. You had another franchise quarterback. If you chose, you could have had Garoppolo in another 10 years and said you chose Brady in another 3 to 4. But either way, you're going to Super Bowls and you have elite talent. It's just another thing that you've got franchises across the NFL who have gone decades, generations without finding a quarterback. And you've got them coming out of your ears. That's how good you are. Like, I don't know why fans don't embrace that part of it, but I don't feel like they do.
No, I agree with you. And if I were a Patriots fan, I would embrace it. And because, you know, look, Bill didn't have any other choice. Do I have qualms with his return and the timing of the deal? Absolutely. But either if it was before that season or if he tagged him and traded him after the season, the end result was still going to be the same. You know, I thought he just could have gotten more, and I thought he could have chosen one of the other two to get a better deal. He didn't do that. But either way, Garoppolo had to be traded because Brady was on top of his game, and it's proven out that Bill, there was no other decision, but they made the right move. And now Jimmy's going, and hopefully I would want him to win a Super Bowl just to be like, we got it wired, and Stidham's the next guy. He's going to be the next guy to fall in line.
Well, but the danger comes in if Garoppolo wins multiple times. Like, and then all of a sudden you look back and say, well, they did get one more out of it. Could they have had three with Garoppolo? Like, that's what the danger is. So, and I'm not telling you that's going to happen, but if it turns out that way, then, you know, we're going to be able to look back and say, in retrospect, maybe they should have cut bait with Brady.
Still a tough call.
Sure it is. Oh, no. I'm not saying it was easy. I'm just saying that if it turns out Garoppolo is great, and I'm not telling you he is, but if it turns out that way, it's an easy second guess. I mean, you'll look at it and say they had another great guy there, and they let him go.
Okay, so you take your calls on this. I promise I want to ask Greg one more. We'll answer it when we come back. Is Kansas City the next team? And is Mahomes the next guy? And does everything go through Kansas City for the next 10 years? And do the Patriots have to build their team accordingly? The answer to that question after Murray's 90-second update. Again, no spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.